steps up, delivers over the middle, intercepted by who else but Jalen Ramsey.
Oh, man, I can't wait to see him back over Telvin and Rashad and play with Dante and just, you know, bring Jacksonville back to the top. I'm so excited.
My feeling is I think he's going to be even a better pro than he was a college player.
With the fifth pick in the 2016 NFL Draft, the Jacksonville Jaguars select Jalen Ramsey, defensive back, Florida State.
Right after Dallas' pick went in, like, no more than a minute later, my phone started ringing. I saw 904 immediately. I picked the phone up so quick, I didn't even let it get through the first ring.
I love my visit there and love spending time with him. And this young defense, you know, is turning up with Telvin and Fowler. He's going to be able to play this year, myself and Prince back there in the secondary. I honestly just cannot wait to play for the Jaguars. Duval!
Now, from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your host Mike Dempsey and David Garrard.
Fat Tony will be along later on this morning. He's had a rough time getting out of bed today. We all took the gut punch yesterday, Dave, or as Hicken put it, square kick in the nuts. I mean, let's just be honest. We're just all pulling punches on this. We didn't play that to rub it in to make you feel bad today. We're commiserating with you. And hopefully, Dave, it's on the short end of the spectrum. Jalen Ramsey's fine, ready to go for the beginning of training camp. And this is all remember when we were all worried about nothing kind of thing. But as the boys on the drill said all this morning, you're allowed to feel like the world has it out to get you right now if you're a Jaguar fan, don't you?
You really do, you know. But I look at it as he's just going to miss the OTAs. But as a rookie, you don't want to miss anything. You want to be around for everything. You want to be out there with the guys running around on the field, getting familiar, having plays thrown at you so that you can make mistakes but then learn from them so that when you get into training camp, you've already got a little bit of a history, a little bit of reps under your belt where you can just roll right into training camp, getting ready for preseason games. And now he's going to miss a lot of the OTA practices and he's going to be rehabbing and all that kind of stuff, and it's just another setback for Jaguar Nation.
You know, and that's the thing. He may be ready physically, ready to go in August or whenever that happens to come, and, you know, be up to speed physically for the start of the season, but it's that the mental reps. You can take mental reps from the sideline, Dave.
Yeah.
Come on.
He's DB. Besides quarterback and left tackle, and it's – one of the toughest positions to transfer into from the college game just because the speed is so much faster. The quarterback to receiver in the NFL is so precise. Even the not-so-great quarterbacks in the league can still pick a rookie or someone that is struggling apart. And that's the thing for him. He's not going to get all those reps during OTAs. And granted, OTAs nowadays is not a ton of reps, but you get to work after practice. You get to talk to the receivers. You get to go against them after practice and work on things. These are things he's not going to be able to do because he's going to try to stay off of that leg, stay off of that knee, not move around too much. So he's just going to be talking more than he is going to physically be doing things.
Yeah, and look, we ran a poll the other day, and we asked which four-game stretch of the Jaguars' schedule is the toughest, and, you know, just broken in the order that they appear. And 74% of the respondents, and we had nearly 300 people vote on this, said the first four games is the toughest part of the schedule. Aaron Rodgers is not going to come in and say, hey, Rook, we'll give you another few days to get ready. I mean, you know, and that's the shame of it, because you're facing a team that's as prolific throwing the football right out of the gates as any you're going to face this year. Jalen Ramsey, you hope, is ready to go, ready to play, but you hope he's prepared to play, even if he's physically ready to play.
And usually what happens is, say you're ready by the start of training camp, well, they don't just throw you in and let you go 100%. They kind of work you in slowly. Say the preseason games roll around. Maybe they give you a drive in the first game, maybe a couple more drives. And maybe by that third game you actually are, you know, you're feeling okay. But maybe you're not. Maybe they're still kind of waiting for the start of the season. Now that's still taking reps off your plate, and like you said, when Aaron Rodgers rolls into town, he's not going to think, well, I'm going to go to the other side where Prince is. I am going to go at the rookie. I'm going to see where he is. I'm going to test the knee. I'm going to test his ability, because you're coming from college to the NFL. It's not the same, and every quarterback knows that, and they're going to try you until you make the plays necessary to make them go somewhere else. They're just going to keep trying you.
Yeah, well, there's no question about that. And look, they're going to try him regardless.
Yep.
But, you know, he'll be that much less prepared
exactly.
for it along the way. And again, we're not trying. We don't know. I'm not going to pretend to you. I'm not a doctor. And if I am a doctor and I haven't examined the knee, I can't know. We don't know what the extent of it is. They say small tear. I'm going to trust their word on it. They're going to get a second opinion next week. Maybe that's standard, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, we'll find out, and hopefully we'll get some more clarity at some point during the first week of OTAs. Gus Bradley will speak every day after OTA practice to the media, so we'll get constant updates if there is news to report right here on 1010XL. By the way, BCB Batman, my buddy, said that he knows I have no hair, so I could not have been at the barbershop. Was I at the Gold Club? No. If I was at the Gold Club, I'd tell you I was at the Gold Club. I wouldn't be ashamed. No shame. I get my hair cut. The reason I have no hair, Dave, is because I go in every week to get it cut. All right? I could grow hair if I wanted to have hair. Get off my back, Batman. All right. Today, we ask you the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships fan feedback question of the day is a simple one. It's basically giving you an opportunity to vent. What was your reaction when you heard the news about Jalen Ramsey's torn meniscus? You can curse all you like on Twitter. I don't care. We'll clean it up for on air. If you call in today, please keep it clean. And
please.
Hit us up on the text line and the phone line at 641-1010, the text line driven by Duval Ford. We'll get your reaction to this. Again, I don't want to make anything more than it is, Dave, but I think it is an understandable emotional reaction. Here we go again, right? And hopefully it's not the case. This shouldn't be as significant or as long-term as we had with Dante Fowler Jr. last year. It cost him his entire season. We knew immediately it was going to cost him his rookie year. Let's hope that you get 16 productive games out of Jalen Ramsey this year. That ship has not sailed yet. So we'll see where things stand as we go along. David Garrard is in the house. I'm Mike Dempsey. Fat Tony will be along. John Oger going to join us next from Jaguars.com. Give the latest perspective from inside the building on what's going on, not only with Jalen Ramsey, but with OTAs dawning on Monday for the Jags. We'll see a lot of these guys on the field, and just knock on wood, keep your fingers crossed, whatever superstition you got, that this is the last injury news we have to report on the Jacksonville Jaguars of any significance for quite some time. 641-1010, once again, that's the number both for the phone and the text line driven by Duval Ford. Friday's brought to you by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. Oh, my goodness. You know today if you need Bob Roberts, don't you? If you got an issue with your roof, yesterday's weather, today's weather, not going to do you any good. Call Bob Roberts at 287-7756 to get that thing taken care of. All right, we'll get rolling here. Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Is to confirm that another set of eyes to tell us there's nothing hidden there that we're not
That's
seeing.
That's my impression of it, yes.
Because we think it's on the better – it's you don't want to be on the meniscus tear spectrum at all.
Right.
But if you're going to be, you want to be on the good end of it, the smaller tear end of it.
Right.
That's
if you
where they
Google
they
this, and the common thing is if it's a good thing, quote-unquote good thing, 4 to 6-ish weeks. If it's a bad thing, 4 to 6-ish months. My understanding is they think it's much closer to the good end.
All right, let's get a call or two in here while we got you in studio. We'll talk more about this and get set for OTAs for next week as well. 641-1010, invite you to weigh in on your reaction when you heard the news or what you feel about it now. You're hearing what John Oger of Jaguars.com has to say about it, that the feeling in the building is not one of overall gloom and doom. You're not happy, certainly, that a key guy gets hurt, a key draft pick, but
the air went out of the building when Fowler got hurt.
No doubt.
And everybody
hasn't
felt
been that kind of reaction.
Not at all.
Okay. Let's go to David up here first today on Jaguars Today. Good morning, David. How are you?
Doing pretty good. How about you?
Good, thanks.
That's good. I'm the last. I don't even think it's close to being gloom and doom at all. I mean, for a couple things. Last year when Fowler got knocked out, I mean, it was a really big kick because we knew we didn't have a whole lot of pieces behind him, and we were going to have to see who we could fill his position. This year we have more players in the game, but also I mean people have to realize that with the rookies, I mean they do so much between their before they go out before they even step out on the first time and before they even step out on the field for the first time. I mean, there's the combine, there's the mini camps, there's all those things, and they don't give their bodies a chance to rest. So, I mean, it's a wonder why more rookies don't get hurt. It's crazy. But, I mean, the way that I'm also looking at it is the fact that we also have Miles Jack and we have Dante Fowler Jr. coming back as well. We had two first-round draft picks. I mean, it would I mean, we're not totally dead in the water, so to speak. Even if it was till October or even half a season. So we're not totally dead in the water.
Gotcha. All right. Hey, David, I appreciate it. It's more of the glass half full. A lot of people have looked at it from the standpoint of they're getting three first-round draft picks this year, added to the squad, because that's the value of Miles Jack when he's able to play like Miles Jack. As far as rookies go, I mean, rookies, veterans, injuries happen. I read your Ozone mailbags. I read them all the time, and I understand the reaction, but I don't get, Dave, and you can speak to this. You've been in NFL locker rooms forever. People saying, oh, the conditioning staff, strength coach. What could he have done to Jalen Ramsey in a couple of weeks?
People realize, of course, they met Dante Fowler hours before he went onto the field.
Right. I mean,
he was supposed to. I mean, I assume, Dave, that you can't condition that quickly.
In a matter of hours. You can't prepare.
I'm not trying to make light of it, but that's the thing. A conditioning coach has a long-term influence. It's not a three-day process.
No, I mean, you can't blame it on the strength and conditioning coach. They're just doing the same things that we've been doing since college, since high school. I mean, it ramps up a little bit more and more as you get older, as you get into the pros. But they're looking out for your best interest. They're not grinding you into the ground like they do in college. I mean, in college, they're trying to turn young kids into men in college. But by the time you get to the NFL, you should be already close to being there. And they're just fine-tuning everything. So they look out for your best interest. With this right here, you're just running around. You're making cuts. These things are going to happen. And it's not the strength and conditioning coach's fault. I mean, it can happen to anybody. Look at Dante last year. It's not because he was in there lifting weights and came out and it was their fault.
It's coincidental that it has happened to a top five pick 2 years in a row, that it's a knee injury. It's not the same severity. It's not the same type of knee injury. We get all that. And as Dave Caldwell and Gus Bradley have famously publicized, they wish they had dialed it back prior to last year, but they dialed back these rookie mini camps and what they're asking out of these rookies right now and stressing these guys. Look, John, if these guys were away, we're in a window of 2 weeks where no one's allowed to work out with the team, they'd be doing something. They wouldn't be sitting on their butt for 2 weeks. They'd be working out on their own. Every time you're on the field, you're exposed to a
chance. This could have happened when the receivers were over. I mean, there's the, I don't know if it's legendary, but it's a story a lot of people know. Alan Hearns for 2 months last year, from January to March, was running routes over at BK at Bishop Kenny. And I've written, everybody's written it, and it's a great story because he's dedicated and he's going after it. It could happen to him over there. Yep. It could have happened to me and you. I mean, this could happen to anybody. It just so happened that it's happened twice in a 13-month period with a rookie for the Jaguars.
Right.
It's,
same body,
it's weird.
Part. Right. Right. And that's why you feel like, what?
But why isn't it happening to any of the other rookies?
Well, I'm sure. Look, Shaq Lawson.
Or the veterans who practice on it every day.
Yeah. I mean, Shaq Lawson just hurt his shoulder with the Buffalo Bills. He's going to be out five to six months. I mean, and he had maybe a pre-existing injury, but that got exacerbated, they think, working out for the Buffalo Bills. So injuries do happen. We just pay attention more to the ones that happen here in the 904. Let's get Tony out at the beaches up next here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning, guys.
What's up?
So when I heard the news, I was freaked out. I was like, oh my God, we're cursed. Here it is again. But when I woke up this morning, I remembered that we had the best draft class this year in the whole league, hands down. And the coaches have, obviously you can't prepare for every injury, for every, eventuality, but we've got a really stacked defense. We did great in the offseason. And I really think that, this is a bump in the road, but ultimately, we're on the right path. We've done everything that we can to secure having a really strong defense. And even with Jalen Ramsey out for a little bit, I think we're going to be all right. I'll take my comments off the air.
All right. Thank you, Tony. And look, out, he may not be out at all during the season. Right. And that's the great hope, that he's not out during the season. Dave and I were talking about, John, you probably heard coming in, that he may be physically ready to go.
Sure.
The question is, how much is he going to miss, in preparation time?
Well,
and being, are you can be physically ready to go. Are you truly ready maybe you're never ready to face a quarterback caliber of Aaron Rodgers in your first game as a pro, but he could be more ready if he were on the field taking reps.
Well, I think the first caller made a relatively good point of there is more available at corner than I think there was a defensive end last year. It wouldn't be absurd to think, okay, you start House and Amakamara in the opener and have Jalen play nickel if he's coming in a game or two, and then, okay, he's ready, let's go. I don't know that they wouldn't have sort of liked that anyway. You know, just having the veterans there, there's a strong belief that they want these guys, no matter how good they are, to earn their spots. So if that's the scenario, if he's in there at nickel in the first couple of games because he may not have been there for the first week of training camp, I certainly don't think that's a long-term tragedy, and I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing within the scheme of things, what they're trying to do. One thing I also heard yesterday, there's no thought that this is a long-term debilitating thing, if you follow me, that it will diminish his...
The career
quickness, anything,
or,
right.
Yeah.
That it will diminish his talent level over the long term. Some injuries at this point might. You know, you come back, but you're never going to quite be the same again. This is not that.
I'll just say that, look, and again, maybe he's only out 4 weeks, 6 weeks, and he's fine, and really we roll around at the start of the season. We go, oh, yeah, that happened, and it was never a thing. But
which is probably how we'd be thinking it if Fowler hadn't gotten hurt last year.
Quite likely. Right. Quite likely. But at the same time, we also know the margin between victory and defeat in the National Football League sometimes comes down to a handful of plays. You're starting out against Aaron Rodgers and Phillip Rivers. This franchise needs to win. You know what I mean? And
sure.
People say, hey, like it was a great draft class, but in large part because you got a guy in Jalen Ramsey who people thought was the cleanest defensive prospect in this draft, many thought, and you added that to Miles Jack. So, that he's a big part of the reason why that draft class is considered the best in the National Football League. So, you know, if he can't be the full 100% Jalen Ramsey, you're missing something that you expected to have early in the season. I don't know that that's going to be the case, but I'm just saying, you know. You got
mad at me right after
equation.
The draft. Yeah, it was one of those days where your forehead turned all red. Like
did
it? Does. Yeah. And because I'm not a huge believer that Ramsey, Jack, the first couple of guys drafted, were going to be major impact the first month anyway. I think that takes time. So in that sense, this doesn't change my thoughts on the first month of the season. I'd rather have him there, don't get me wrong. But I don't necessarily think that the team as a whole was thinking, these guys are going to make us dramatically better in the first two or three weeks of the season. So in that sense, from a reality standpoint, it might not change that much.
I believe firmly, had Jalen Ramsey been healthy, and this may still be the case, Jalen Ramsey would be starting on the outside in your base set opposite Devon House. If you're a starter right out of the gates, you are. It's semantics, but I am counting on you to make an impact. You're a starting player as a rookie stepping right into the lineup regardless. I'm never mad at you, John. I just shake my head at your
anger. Your forehead gets real red around that place
sometimes
that you got a haircut this morning.
Let's get Doug in Fernandina before we break here. Hi, Doug. How are you this morning?
All right, man. How you guys doing?
Good, thanks.
I got season tickets about a week before the draft, man, and I was just wondering maybe should I put them up on eBay now the way things are going?
No.
I had a good feeling about the team, you know, so.
And that's the shame of it, Doug, and I think, you know, look, I understand the reaction. It had been such a positive swell this offseason, right? Like, hey, you know what, last season – the Dante Fowler omen that just set us back, and we did so many things, and we all know how it played out with the five wins and missed opportunities. This year's going to be different. You start to look at that projected starting lineup with those five new defensive names in there, and you add Chris Ivory to the mix. You strengthen the offensive line. You're going to get improvement from these young guys. All those things may still be true, right? But this was the first kind of stone thrown in the path of all this momentum that was just right. Rolling downhill.
I'll say it like this. If you believe that they're going to be a lot better next year, they weren't just going to be a lot better because of Jalen Ramsey. It was because of the totality of the offseason. And this does not break down this wall. This might be a little, you know, chip off the coquina of the St. Augustine Fort, but it's not. This doesn't tear down the entire offseason. It's a gut punch right now because you don't want to hear it. But if the team's going to be good, it's going to be good whether or not you lose one guy for a short time.
You want to stick around for a few more minutes?
Yes, a little bit.
All right,
sure.
You're a good man. John
Osher. I am a good man.
I'm making up for all those times my face got red at you. My face gets red. I'm a ruddy Irish man. What can I tell you? John Osher, Jaguars.com. Fat Tony's going to join us. Coming up on the other side, he's gotten over his early morning is what he's been doing today. He heard John's news about Jalen Ramsey, that the feeling in the building is nowhere near the mood it was last year when Dante Fowler went down. David Garrard is in the house. I'm Mike Dempsey. Jaguars today continuing to take your calls at 641-1010. Vent, how did you feel? How do you feel about the Jalen Ramsey situation? Hit us up on Twitter, Facebook, the text line, driven by Duval Ford, the phone line. You got it all. Jaguars today on a Friday, brought to you by Bob Roberts First Coast Roofing on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, more Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
We're all breaking down our various degrees of knowledge of the meniscus, and what it looks like. Is it spongy? What is it? Is it frayed on the edges? I don't know. Fat Tony's here, though. You okay, man?
I'm good. Yeah,
all right.
I'm good.
We had to send a car around to pick him up. He didn't trust himself to drive today.
I debated not coming in. I mean, you could have heard my voice last year during, I was at the TPC doing updates when Fowler went down, and I got many people, like, tweeting me as I was doing updates, because I went from live from the TPC to live from the TPC, who cares? You know,
really?
Like, that's kind of the attitude I had. And yesterday at about 4 o'clock, that's kind of the attitude I had again of, well, here we go again. And then part of me was, okay, well, at least I kind of know where a meniscus is and what's up with it, because I've been reading about it for a couple months now with Miles Jack. So I'm as educated about this injury as I could be. And then you get up this morning and it sounds like it's not going to be that 4 to 6 month type injury. And if it is something that's only going to be 4 to 6 weeks, which is the short end of it, or even if it is, you know, 2 months, that's right. Okay. For this Jaguars team, as long as it doesn't reach the back end of that thing. And this is coming from a guy that I read a lot, and I really love science, but I always hated biology and anatomy. So having to, like, read about the physical makeup of the knee is, like, the worst thing in the world to me. That's like fingernails on chalk, but I've been doing it for months now and feel like I can at least locate a meniscus in a knee. I don't know what it does, but I can tell you where it is.
Hey, if you want to save money on your next surgical procedure, ladies and gentlemen, I'll hook you up with Fat Tony, all right? I get a 1% finder's fee.
I can point the
doctor
towards
it. It's in your knee.
Would he do the surgery with the backward hat?
Oh, yeah.
Is that how he'd roll?
He probably would.
He'd have YouTube playing.
And scrubs.
Beside him.
He would.
Okay,
right. So YouTube says.
My dad's got an ultimate set of tools.
Make this incision right here.
How to pause. Surgery on a knee.
I think he would wear a mask.
Yeah, suction.
Yeah, rewind on that. Yeah, all my reactions were something along the lines of, you've got to be blanking me,
yeah.
Right? And blanking sometimes started with an F and sometimes started with an S. It just depended on who was texting me at any given time. 641-1010. Yes. Let's go to Will on the West Side, wants to weigh in on this. Good morning, Will. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Good morning, guys. Listen. I'm the biggest Jaguar optimistic it is. I hope we be great. But listen what we're working with here. We have 3 injured rookies. That's really what we have. Fowler injured. Jack, we don't know. He's probably injured. Now we got Ramsey injured. We got an injured offensive lineman we're coming in to try to play against Joker for the offensive tackle. We have Prince Amukamara, who's really injured, coming off an injury also. What are we doing here? Should we really be that focused on that this is going to be a great team and that we really have a good draft class? I mean, 3 years down the line probably, but right now I'm thinking, man, this the ER room.
Well, thank you, Will. I think, honestly, if you went around the National Football League and you looked at everyone's true situation, you know, go to Baltimore, right? Joe Flacco's coming off a torn ACL. Steve Smith's coming off a torn Achilles. I'm sure there are at least a half dozen other guys that
Le'Veon
had significant
injuries.
All kinds of guys coming off of injuries around the National Football League. I'm not saying you discount the potential impact, but I don't think they're going out of their way to collect injury risk guys. I don't think Prince Amukamara is like at this moment, you know, anything that's happened in the past is any concern
but
to them.
There is
forward.
A difference between what Joe Flacco and Steve Smith and Le'Veon Bell have accomplished in the NFL.
Understood.
And Fowler and Ramsey and Jack. Like, it's the injury questions with guys that we've never even seen on an NFL field. Yep. And I can understand how that would get a lot of fans nervous.
Oh, I can see that too. But, you know, we also know those injuries, or they stand out to us because they are the famous guys who played a lot of football.
No doubt.
Sure, Baltimore's got a handful of other ones, you know, of guys that are of a lesser light that, you know, that's the way it goes. So, all right, well, Jalen Ramsey, again, to restate what John said earlier, the mood in the building yesterday, nowhere near what it was last year in terms of the gloom and doom. They think it's on the shorter end of the recovery time spectrum. That's what they believe.
Yeah, it's the vibe.
Right, that's the vibe, and a second opinion will come next week. So, we're not trying to tell you that he's going to miss X amount of anything. We don't know. We just do not know. We're just giving you a safe place to vent this morning. Now, beyond that, OTAs do start on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday this week.
Yeah, I was writing a bunch of stories about OTAs at around 3 o'clock Thursday.
Pretty much a walkthrough at this point, John. Are they just going to walk through all their drills next week?
And that's sort of the gray irony of this. If they back off, then I get emails about, well, they don't practice them hard.
They're soft.
They're not very good. Why aren't they practicing hard? And then if they practice at all and they get hurt, then they're idiots. So, you'll have your normal OTA practice, which over the years has gotten lighter and lighter anyway. Everything's always done with an eye to keeping these guys healthy. And as David said, when you've got 260-pound guys running and cutting, you're going to have injuries. But it'll be the same OTAs that it'll be a light version of training camp.
Right. And
non-contact, all the, you know.
Right. So it's total non-contact throughout OTAs.
Right, which means you're looking more at skill position guys. I'm anxious to see Marquise Lee. I'm anxious to see these guys cover all those things. I'm anxious to see Blake Bortles. I talked to Gus yesterday, or I believe it was Wednesday, and he just talked about how all the steps you would expect to see from Blake, that quarterback thing where you start kind of owning the team and it's yours. He never hasn't had that, but he's got it even more. Yeah, you know, he's trying to take that next step, and you get the feeling looking at him that this is his team, this is his time, and I'm kind of anxious to see how he does that.
Well, Dave, it's one thing to be installed as the starter. It's another thing then to go out there and prove yourself worthy of that job, right? How did the team react differently to you? Now, you had started due to injury to Byron prior to that at various points, so you had a little bit of cachet built up, but I'm sure the first time you went in there to start a game, guys were, what do they tell you to your face? I'm like, I hope he's up to the job.
Yeah,
right?
Well, you can feel the guys are like, okay, well, he's won his ball games before, but now everything's on his shoulders. Can he go out there and do what he's done in the past for 16 weeks? And once you go out there and you start executing and you start making those plays and you start winning ball games, well, not everybody's buying in. Everybody's, okay, he can do it. We already knew he can do it. And now he's just proven that he can do it. And I think for Blake, he's shown that he can do it. He's had the numbers. He's made the great plays. He's won some ball games. And that confidence for him grows, and the confidence in his teammates grow as well, because they know it's not just him, that they also have to play better around him. And so he's going to be able to step into it this year and really, like you said, have that confidence in his teammates, be that leader, be able to say things that normally he hasn't said in the past, where he can get on some guys, he can call guys together, say they're having a sloppy practice. He can be one of those guys that says, you know, bring it up, everybody bring it in together, let's talk about this, let's make sure we turn practice around right now. Let's start things over, and let's fix what we've done the first half of practice. Let's just get it all right now. He can be that kind of guy instead of a coach bringing everybody up and doing that same thing. It's different when it comes from a player.
So for you, if you're observing OTAs as a quarterback through a quarterback's eyes, what do you want to see out of Blake next week? Is it just the way he's carrying himself? Is it the, you know, is he spinning it well? What are the things you're looking for? And realizing we're not going to play actual games that matter for 4 months.
Yeah, I want to see execution. I want to see the ball stay off the ground. I want to see the ball get to his receivers and not to the DBs. You want to see him learn from a lot of things. He's going to make a mistake here and there, but you want to see those far and few in between different plays. You don't want to see a day where he goes out and just, you're like, what's happening with Blake today? You want to see him sharp and crisp every day because he's in the same system. He's got talented guys around him. You want to see him go out there and really, really execute. I mean, defense is going to make plays, but you want to see the plays being made that you're like, oh, wow, that was a great play right there. I mean, the guy had great defensive coverage, but he fit that ball in there and made a great play. And sometimes you'll see, you know, him throw it away because everybody is covered. There aren't those plays. So those are the things you want to see in practice. You don't want to see him forcing a bunch of things. You don't want to see him getting out of the pocket, running around, and just trying to heave the ball somewhere. You want to see him really trying to execute in practice.
All right. John Osier, Jaguars.com, you're going to take your leave of us. So what do you have coming up on the website this weekend?
Well, the story, I talked to Gus this week about OTAs and just sort of a preview of OTAs for the most part, and then we'll have the Ozone, and then we'll get into this on Monday.
All right, we are going to brave whatever the conditions are in the studio next Monday. Fat Tony and I will be down there at Everbank.
Well, you...
Jackhammer.
Yeah.
I respect you for that.
Jackhammer, wet
leaking
water conditions.
I got to tell you, Wednesday was a... It was a tough day. There were some obstacles to overcome down that hallway.
You guys do .com Live in there,
we
of
did. This was after .com Live. We had a staff meeting down the hall, and it was – we all made it through, made it to the staff meeting, but it was not easy.
Excellent. We'll look forward to the challenge.
But I'm tough. I mean,
of OTA-level Jaguars today. We're ramping it up now because we've had it easy this offseason, Tony, up until now. We're taking it to OTA level on Monday, starting Monday, right here.
Just pace
on
yourself.
1010. All right, Johnny O, good to see you, buddy.
Guys.
Have a great weekend.
All right.
There he goes, John Osier on Twitter, at John Osier. You can find him on the digital pages of Jaguars.com. Coming up in a moment, David Garrard, Fat Tony here with me, Mike Dempsey. We've got This Date in Football and the Honda Drive around the NFL and a lot more. It's Jaguars today on 1010XL on 92.5 FM.
And now, This Date in Football History.
All right, This Date in Football History, May 20th. Let's go back to the archives, and it's birthday time. Bud Grant still around, as far as I know. 89 years young today. Coached the Minnesota Vikings, that's where we know him primarily, but played with Winnipeg up in the Canadian Football League, and then coached them for over a decade as well back in the 1950s. Bud Grant, Dave, played defensive end for a couple of years in the NFL. 6'3", 199 pounds. How things have changed with the time in the National Football League. He switched, by the way, from defensive end to wide receiver at 6'3", 199. So Bud Grant, happy 89th. Leroy Kelly, a Hall of Fame running back for the Cleveland Browns, followed Jim Brown in Cleveland, a six-time Pro Bowler, three-time first-team All-Pro, and a Hall of Fame inductee in 1994. He was born in the state in 1942. Happy 74th to him. Lawyer Tillman, NFL tight end with the Packers and the Panthers out of Auburn. Alabama fans remember him winning the Iron Bowl for Auburn with a reverse. He turns 50 years old today. That was back in 1986 that he did that. Kasim Osgood, former Jaguar, three-time Pro Bowl special teamer, by the way, with the San Diego Chargers before he came to Jacksonville. He turns 36 today. And this one just makes me sad. LaRon Robinson, who came here when he had the breakout season with the Dallas Cowboys, Jags signed him to the big free agent contract. He had a series of, I think, as many as five concussions in his first year here in Jacksonville, including one that happened right in front of us on the practice field where his head hit that little concrete strip between where it used to be a turf field and a grass area. He only turns 31 years old. LaRon Robinson's career over way too soon. But happy 31st to LaRon, who was born on this date in 1985. And that is This Date in Football History.
Now the Honda Drive around the NFL. Brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
Well, guys, unfortunately, the top story in the National Football League is the injury to our number 5 overall pick, Jaguars cornerback Jalen Ramsey. He suffered a small tear to the meniscus in his right knee during phase 2 of the conditioning program, reportedly May 6th and 7th. A source told ESPN's Adam Schefter that Ramsey was hurt during a drill but did not know it at the time. Ramsey's knee was sore after practice, the source said. Leading to an MRI the next day that revealed a small tear. A second opinion for Ramsey's knee comes early next week. Former Jaguars and New York Giants head coach Tom Coughlin joined Prosser and Hicken this morning on the drill, and the guys discussed the J Fund and his first year out of football in decades, and Coughlin says he's keeping his options open.
Yeah, I'm not going to close any doors. As it goes along, you get, you know, as I say, your energy and your batteries start to churn again, and so I'm open to anything, to be honest with you. I think sometimes people forget that we started a franchise, so there's any number of things that I can do to contribute. I've talked to some people, of course, in the radio, TV world, talked to the league office and got some thoughts and ideas on what I might be able to contribute in a capacity such as that. But we'll see. You know, we'll see. It's kind of late into the year now. And quite frankly, guys, I've spent most of my time here focusing on trying to do more than I've ever done before for the J Fund.
That's Tom Coughlin on the drill this morning. The entire interview will be in the on-demand section of 1010XL.com. One more clip from the head coach.
Coach, do you think you'll be doing something football-related, whether it's consulting, whether it's broadcasting this fall?
I'll be doing this September?
Something. Yeah.
I think I'll be doing something. I wish I could tell you exactly what it is, but I'm not sure what it is yet. But I do want to stay involved, and I like the word Joe Brown, who of course, was the head PR guy in the National Football League for so many years. And I always say this because Joe is going to be one great after-dinner speaker. Can you imagine? He goes all the way back to Pete Rozelle and the stories that he's got to tell.
Right.
But Joe sent me a note and said, remember this, you are transitioning. That's what I'm doing. He said, I'm transitioning. So you can use that word as well. I don't like that other word, so I'll use the word transitioning.
But Coach Coughlin, not retired, he's transitioning. Just days after cutting former Jaguars kicker Josh Scobie, the Saints have signed another veteran kicker in Connor Barth. He will compete for the kicking job against Kai Forbath. Barth was released by Tampa after they drafted Florida State's Roberto Aguayo, the kicker from FSU, in round number 2. The Pro Bowl is moving from Honolulu to the Citrus Bowl down in Orlando. Next season, ESPN sources confirmed yesterday the NFL did decline to comment on the report, only saying that Orlando, Houston, Honolulu, and Sydney, Australia were in the bidding for the league's All-Star event. And one final story here, guys. The NFL is returning more than $700,000 of taxpayers' money that was paid to teams for sponsored military tributes. In a letter written to Senators Jeff Flake and John McCain on Wednesday and disclosed on Thursday, that the commissioner, Roger Goodell, said that following an audited review of 100 marketing agreements from 2012 to 2015, teams were deemed to have received $723,000 for those sponsored military tributes. It's terrible.
Yeah, we just want to honor you guys. Would you mind if we honored you?
For a small fee.
As long as you pay us.
Oh, absolutely.
We'll pay us, and we'll be happy to honor you, and we'll look like we're doing something out of patriotism. Instead, we're doing it out of economic pragmatism. Give it back, National Football League. So many things here. Clay Larimore at Teal Apocalypse tweets in, and he's correct. Didn't Bud Grant also play with the Lakers? I'm pretty sure. He's absolutely right. Bud Grant got drafted by the Lakers, played in the NBA before he played in the NFL, and then went on to the Canadian Football League, and he was part of the Lakers' 1950 championship team. That's pretty good. I get 6'3", 199, Dave, based on the fact that he played defensive end in football. He must have been a center back then, right? At 6'3", 199. He was backing up Mikan, I think, on those Laker teams back then. I'm not sure about that. I'm going to leave the whole Tom Coughlin is transitioning thing. There's a bathroom joke that's floating around in my head, but I'm just going to leave that off to the side. Pro Bowl going to Orlando. I would think, you know, look, we kind of have I don't know if it's a rivalry with Orlando. I think Jacksonville feels like, you know, led by Mike Bianchi, Orlando tries to look down their nose at Jacksonville. Well, what do you got? You got the Magic, okay? Stuff the Magic Dragon.
They got Orlando City, the MLS team now. Watch out.
Seriously. If that's what you got. You got Disney. That's what you got going for you. We got Shad Khan. All right? So suck it, Orlando. But the fact that the Pro Bowl could be, and it's not official, but the report was Orlando will get it. The NFL is saying, no, it's still not determined. But if it does go to Orlando, from the standpoint of let's hope that, as we see, there are going to be 5 Jaguar players in the top 100. Other than Allen Robinson, let's add a few more Pro Bowlers. How cool would it be to make a couple-hour drive to go see your guys play in the Pro Bowl, which would be a rare opportunity. It's only been played in Miami and Arizona 1 year each since, 1979, I think. So unless you're taking that trip out to Honolulu, it would be a great opportunity for Jag fans to hop in the caravan and head down to O-Town.
Absolutely. I think it should be played on the mainland in the States because that allows more fans to be able to go down and be a part of that week. I actually happened to be in the game in Miami, and so all my friends were driving, flying, family were coming. They could make it. Not everybody can make it to Honolulu. I mean, you see the stadium when they're playing in that game is not usually that packed. But if you put it here in the States, it just gives everybody a chance to, you know, get a quick flight or drive to those games. And especially if we have that many players playing that Pro Bowl, we're going to have so many people down there.
You take it to a new locale. Like if you brought it to Orlando, I would think they'd do very well with ticket sales because you've got the Jag fans, the Buck fans, the Dolphin fans who all are within easy driving distance and others in the southeast that would come down that don't typically get to go. But I remember that game when you were down there. I think the Colts-Bears Super Bowl was going to be played the following week.
Yeah.
Richard Miller and I got credentials to that game. And we drove around that stadium looking for the media parking lot 15 times, maybe. And I got to say, Dave, you look great on TV that night. Because we never made it in. Then Tony and I went to the one that was in Arizona a couple of years ago. And they got to do something about this game.
the game itself was
We were sitting there. We were just like, really? I mean, the best part of it, Tony, wasn't it? Watching the Cardinal fans boo any mention of any player from the NFC West that didn't play for Arizona.
Oh, absolutely. And it was Seattle was playing in the Super Bowl that year.
Right.
And so they obviously hate Seattle. Yeah. And so they were introducing the Seahawks Pro Bowlers and weren't playing in the game. And you couldn't even hear the names. Like over the loudspeaker. Yeah. It was so loud in there. Richard Sherman, like you could kind of hear Sherman. It was incredible just how loud they were.
You know, the game itself is it's just not doing a good service for the league and those guys. They're Pro Bowl players. They should be doing some kind of skills challenge or something like that because they're not playing hard and it looks terrible. I can tell you when I was playing, Peppers was – he had – tracked me down. I was running down trying to get the ball off, and he grabbed around me, and I was still trying to fight to get out of it, and he was just saying, just go down, DG. Just go down. And I'm like, are you really having a conversation with me right now?
You know what's good for you, big man.
Yeah, so I'm like, you know, they don't want to get hurt out there, and it's not like all the other sports where there's not that much contact. There's a lot of contact, and so they're trying to take the contact up, but it doesn't look the same.
Right.
And this past one, it was just pretty much two-hand touch. I mean, it's terrible.
The last couple have really gotten away from anything you would resemble as being a football game. But, you know, I'm sitting here thinking, and it's not just because of the Ramsey thing, but this is the way I think people think now and where the league's headed. You do a skills challenge. Remember when, Robert Edwards? It wasn't a skills challenge, but they had a beach football game, right? That was prior to the Pro Bowl. And that's how he messed up. It was just his ankle, right? And he was never the same. He was, you know, I want to say offensive rookie of the year maybe for the New England Patriots. He was a 1,000-yard-plus rusher in his rookie season out of Georgia and then was never the same again, a devastating injury. So, Dave, I can just imagine some skills challenge where you're running the obstacle course. I mean, we used to watch that in the off season. You'd see the superstars competition down in some Caribbean island, and you'd see guys from all different sports competing against each other in obstacle courses, sprints, swimming, all these things. And you think now, you know, some agent would be in their ear, buddy, this is not covered by the CBA. If you get hurt, you're going to be in trouble. And clearly, if it were an NFL-sponsored thing like a Pro Bowl skills challenge, that would, you know, you'd be fine on that score. But I can just imagine the first guy that tears a labrum or does something trying to show off the arm strength, that's the end of that too, you know? Then it's going to be a photo op. Come on down to Hawaii. We'll take a team photo. We'll have a big luau. But it would be kind of – Sydney, Australia would be – I think you'd get a lot of players who want to go because they've never been to Australia, right? And it would be great for growing the game globally because you don't get it in Australia. I mean, I would imagine it'd be a much sought-after ticket. But nobody from the States would go. The media that would go would be cut down significantly, you know, in terms of covering it. It'd still be on television and stuff like that. But, you know, for the Pro Bowl, I don't think it's so much about selling the tickets and all that stuff. You know, I mean, really, how much of economic impact is that to the National Football League compared to all the money that they make? But their continued efforts to grow the game globally and just, you know, they moved the draft around, starting to monetize that. If they feel like the best thing to do is put the Pro Bowl in a different market every year because you don't get to see that, maybe that's the best thing to do. I wouldn't mind it being in Orlando simply for the fact that Jag fans could hopefully see some of their guys in uniform down there next January. All right, 6-4-1-10-10. We'll get back to the Jalen Ramsey discussion if you want to weigh in on that. What was your reaction when you first heard the news? It's kind of our question of the day brought to you by the Tom Bush family of automobile dealerships. By now you know if you've got a leak in your roof. Hopefully you don't. The time to look at your roof is not after the rain came and the water is dripping into your house. Check it out now. Make sure there's going to be a summer of storms coming up. Bob Roberts First Coast Roofing has your back. 287 7756 if you have wind damage, hail damage, any kind of storm damage, and you need it repaired or you want to make sure that you're in good shape for the summer, call Bob Roberts, 287-7756, license number CCC056797 for Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing, our Friday sponsor on Jaguars Today. Come back, we'll check the text line and take your calls at 641-1010. Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
I'm Paul Posluszny, and you're listening to the best Jaguars coverage in Jacksonville on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Let's welcome in Brian Harmon out of the University of Georgia, shooting a 77 today. And, Brian, thank you for giving us a few minutes of your time.
Newly baptized Jags fan. Get on the mic here. I'm switching allegiances.
Very nice. From who to the Jags?
Well, I've been a Falcons fan my whole life, and then they passed on my man Todd Gurley in the first round last year, so I've been looking for a team ever since.
Well, before we get anything else, can we get a Duval out of you, Brian?
A Duval? Is that what they say?
Yeah, we need the long U. Duval.
Duval. Okay.
There it is.
This is Duval County.
Like I said, I became a fan like 3 weeks ago. I'm not kidding either. Duval, Bengal,
Westside. All right. I'm not buying the transition yet, Tony. This sounds suspiciously like another story I've heard. They passed on his guy, Todd Gurley, right? Harmon, I take it, is a Georgia grad. Is that the case?
Yes.
I remember somebody saying that if they pass on a certain left-handed quarterback, he declared himself a Bronco fan. And now he wants back in the good graces of Jaguar Nation. Midday Chalk coming up at noon here on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. So, just saying, I'm not buying Harmon's conversion because certain people seem to forget their claims that they have cast the team aside and jumped on board with some other team because they didn't pass on the guy that they wanted to or something. I'm not sure how that whole thing works. So, you know what I'm talking about, all right? 641-1010. If you'd like to get on the phone lines or the text line driven by Duval Ford. We're talking about the Pro Bowl a minute ago with the, you know, some youth leagues. Someone pointed out on the text line are transitioning to flag football. What if the Pro Bowl was flag football? Justin in St. Augustine. It sounds like an absurd suggestion. Is it that absurd, Dave? Really? Honestly? I mean, you know, we're talking about skills challenges. It is kind of a game of patty cake out there anyway. Nobody wants to blow anybody up. Ever since Sean Taylor nearly destroyed that punter's life. I forget who it was. He caught him on the sideline, and he absolutely blew him. Go to YouTube and look up Sean Taylor hitting the punter in the Pro Bowl or some combination of those words, and he absolutely de-cleated the guy. Rest in peace, Sean Taylor, but you don't see many guys go like that in this circumstance. I mean, is that too crazy to think that one day they might do something? Is Brian Moorman? Thank you, Tyler. Brian Moorman got his junk lit up. Is it crazy to think that one day they could do something like that?
I don't think so. I don't think they would do flag football. Because you're still running around cutting. You're still throwing the ball. But you're still trying to make plays. And if you've ever been to a walkthrough practice or a, you know, we don't have the helmets on. It's got hats. When the ball's in the air, guys are still going to go try to make plays. And you yell at them. You yell at the defensive players. Hey, this is a walkthrough practice. Just let the ball get complete to the receiver. We're not trying to beat you right now. We're just trying to walk through the plays. They still have that competitive drive in them. And if you put money on the table like there is money involved in the games, they're still going to run hard, run fast, and try to make plays.
I still don't think, I mean, as funny as it is, and you're probably right, I don't think it's an absurd suggestion from a guy who's watching a game basically devolve into a glorified touch football.
And an offensive lineman has to catch it every three passes, right? Like, would that be the deal?
Two consecutive completions
nobody,
get your
like,
first down. We
nobody under 260 pounds can tackle that guy.
They should make the O-line and the D-line, the DBs and the receivers, and let them go out and run around and catch passes. That would be hilarious, and that would be something to watch.
Man,
would it be easier or more difficult to tackle Odell Beckham at flag football or real football? Where you can just run straight through the guy, right? Where flag football, you can't just go make that full contact. Those little quick guys, what would be more difficult?
His hips would move so fast from you trying to reach for that flag. He would just be unstoppable out there.
Barry Sanders would still be playing.
Yes, exactly.
You think about all the crazy rules that you had, now that we mentioned that. When's the last time you played a serious game of backyard football? Like, what age were you when you gave up getting tackled by your buddies without pads on?
It was in high school at some point.
You did play that long, though.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
You had to, right? I mean, everybody. For me, it was probably a couple of years into college. I wasn't on scholarship for football.
Yeah, I didn't do it anymore in college.
Different story. I understand what you're saying. But there were all those crazy rules. Like, the quarterback couldn't run unless somebody rushed, past the line of scrimmage. And
5 seconds. Five Mississippi.
Oh, they had the Mississippi thing going on. And we'd always do, if you had, like, two completions in a row or whatever it was, could pick you up a first down or something like that.
You know, four hard. You only get four plays.
That's how it was, four plays.
And then you'd always get the question on fourth down. You kicking or sticking? And who the heck was punting in backyard football? I've never seen a punt in backyard football.
It's going to break my heart if we don't get this first down and you get the ball.
1 yard line. We're going deep. Everybody go deep. We're going deep. Also on the text line, driven by Duval Ford, what type of training are these knuckleheads doing at the stadium? Geez, hashtag Jaguars today, hashtag keep them healthy, please. And again, I understand the expression of, being upset and frustration and all these things, but these guys—it's not like if Jalen Ramsey and if the entire league were shut down for a few months, they're not going to sit on their butt.
No, they're going to still.
They're
going to
be working out in some capacity. And anytime you're in a situation where you're running, you're cutting, you're doing things a defensive back would do, you're susceptible to, bending that knee the wrong way, just tweaking it, and it can happen. So, me personally, if you want to be exasperated with the fact that it's happened again to some degree, a knee injury to a high-profile pick with the Jags. I understand that. I don't personally point the finger of blame at the training staff or the condition. I mean, they just got hold of these guys. These are not, to me, if you had a series of hamstring injuries or soft tissue pulls, things like that, that to me, Dave, if you've had those guys under your care for a matter of months, that becomes more of a concern. Maybe you're not having the right stretching regimen, something like that. That might be something. These seem like more freak, one-off type circumstances that just happened to be, the guy that was selected the highest by the Jags 2 years in a row. It happened to, if it had been, Sheldon Day, we wouldn't be happy. But the fourth round guy is different than the top five guy.
Absolutely. It's more of a freak thing than it is anything, just like with Dante last year. I mean, he's been running and bending around the end, for however long, and all of a sudden now this happens. It's unfortunate, but it's a big part of the game. Nobody just goes through their career without having any kind of injury, and especially when you're talking about something with inside the body and inside the joint, you can't help but do anything for the meniscus. There's no meniscus training. There's no management program that you can be on to make sure the guys don't tear their meniscus. Now, there are soft tissue things you can do. You can get on the foam rollers. You can roll out. You can hydrate. You can do a lot of things for muscles and tissue, but you can't do anything for inside the joint.
What are we working today? I'm doing back and meniscus today.
Yeah, exactly.
the two things I'm doing. Somebody asked on the text line, driven by Duval Ford, do you think other teams will now run pass routes specifically to stress Jalen Ramsey's knee? Every pass route stresses every defensive back's knee, right? I mean, honestly, I'm not trying to say that's a dumb question, but it's not like you're going to say, we're going to run this, more down and outs where you have to make quick cuts. These type things are happening all the time. You're not going to design your offense. Now, you may pick on the guy.
Because he's a rookie.
Because he's a rookie, and you want to see if he's 100% healthy and all these things. But the design of the routes and the design of the offense, it may just be that more balls come that way, but rookies get picked on anyway.
They're not going to put him out there if he's not 100% ready to go. So as long as he's 100% ready to go, now it just becomes, is he good enough? Does he have the mental makeup to overcome a bad play or whatever it is? But you're not going to attack the guy because he had a meniscus tear and he had some kind of surgery on it, and he was out for 4 to 6 weeks, and now he's back and healthy. That's not going to be the reason why you pick on him. You want to make sure to see if he's conditioned well, if he's able to just play cornerback. That's what you're trying to pick on, and he's a rookie. He hasn't been out there. He has the shine of the whole city on him, the stadium. Everybody, you're the first-round draft. There's a lot of pressure on him, and you want to see if he can live up to it.
Did you ever see a movie, a cheesy 80s movie called They Live? Have you ever heard of this movie?
I'm not sure.
Rowdy Piper, the wrestler, starred in it, and it was about basically an alien invasion, and they had these sunglasses that you could wear, and when you put them on, you'd see the aliens for their true selves, what they truly were, right?
Like, I think I did see
right,
this
movie. And so a normal person like David Garrard would look like David Garrard. A guy like Byron Leftwich might look like some horrible alien guy. I can't. I'm joking. All right? It's a joke. But you get the point. I imagine you'd have a visor in the NFL. The equivalent would be rookie. And as a quarterback, you'd be like, that's where the ball's going. It doesn't matter. I don't care who it is. Ramsey, Patrick Peterson, any of them, you're going to get tested on these guys.
When I was with the Jets, D. Milner was the rookie at that time. And we were playing against the Patriots. And Tom Brady threw the ball at him five straight times in a row, completed it five straight times. And you could just see the glazed look over his eyes like, is he just going to pick on me all day? And I walked up to him on the sideline and I said, dude, you got to make a play because he is not going to stop throwing the ball at you. He's found you. You are the weak link right now. So you can't just sit back and think you're just going to catch the receiver every time he catches the ball. He's going to keep throwing it at you.
So what does he do in that circumstance? Does he then try to become, you know, more aggressive, even out of character, and say, I'm going to take a chance and jump this route because he's killing me anyway?
He was just playing too soft.
Okay.
He was playing not to get beat deep.
Right.
Instead of playing his technique, instead of seeing the receiver make his break and trying to go up and make a play on him, he was just letting everything happen in front of him. He just didn't want to get beat. And I said, you're going to get beat anyway if you don't try to make a play. When Rasheen Mathis was here and he would get beat by those double moves, it's because he was taking a chance to go up and make that initial play on the route. You're going to get beat sometimes, but you can't just sit there and let them just pick on you five, six straight times in a row. That's worse. The crowd, your team, wants to see you be aggressive and go make some plays, where he was just sitting back and just letting them come.
Oh, Brady will take those 17-play drives where he completes 15 five-yard passes.
What he was doing.
They make their hay on those kind of things. What else we got here? Mike from Jacksonville on the text line, driven by Duval Ford. Alan Hearns played incredibly productively last year through an injury all season long. I'm just trying to stay optimistic. Hey, that's true. Different injuries, different players. For all we know, and no one said anything different, if you've heard anything different, that's you hearing it. We have no idea what the timetable is going to be. We're not trying to play medical professional here. And there is a good chance on this whole spectrum of outcomes that Jalen Ramsey is physically ready to go 100% for the opener against Green Bay. Then the question is, you know, where is he in his mental preparation and his learning of the defense and being able to apply all these things when Aaron Rodgers rolls into town week one? That's another story. That was going to be a story anyway, whether he misses some time in the offseason or not, with this injury being sidelined from being on the football field. So let's hope for the best, and there's nothing much else you can do, right?
Nope.
I mean, nothing anybody does or says at this point in time, at least it's in this room or likely in this audience, will have any impact on the return to full health of Jalen Ramsey. So let's hope that happens as soon as possible. If you'd like to get in on Twitter, at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at David Garrard 9. Question of the day is this, just time to vent. What was your reaction when you heard the news about Jalen Ramsey having a meniscus tear? You can weigh in on any of those platforms as well as the Jaguars Today Facebook page and anywhere else. We'll take a look at the fan feedback spotlight coming up shortly. Mike Dempsey, David Garrard, Fat Tony, Tyler Devitt here with you. It's Jaguars Today live at 1010XL World Headquarters on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
From the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Oh, we're going. We're going back, Tony. We're going back into the deluge. Whatever comes down on us, we're going to tough it out for a week of OTAs down at Everbank next week. You and I will be doing push-ups on commercial breaks, maybe some sit-ups. No deep knee bends, please, because I, too, have a torn meniscus. What can I tell you? Apparently, it's not critical if you don't care about moving quickly in any direction. I was telling Dave earlier, he's out at soccer practice like a week ago, and Colin is rifling shots past me, 2 feet to my right. I can't move. I just have not gotten it fixed. Fortunately, you're not counting on me to play defensive back for your Jacksonville Jaguars anytime soon.
That's a good thing.
Did your pants fall down, Mike? a la Hacker when he went against...
You know, I don't have an issue with my pants staying up for some reason. I've never had that. No, my pants did not fall down. I didn't dive, though, So I don't know. I think, you know, by the way, it's no shame. Kids, the girl who scored on Hacker was like 14, right? I guarantee you there's some girls that will rifle that ball past your head so quick. It's silly at the age of 14. Because I got girls on my team that I've been coaching that are like 11, Dave, and they will hurt you badly if you're not looking and that ball catches you. So it's no shame to have someone, a 14-year-old female, score a goal on you. It's tough in a penalty shootout situation. The shame is your clothes failing you and your crack being exposed for the world to see. Cabby says on the text line, "Hey, Mike, love the show, but it took me a while to come around and be a fan because I'm like the old man on Pawn Stars. At first, you don't like him, but then he grows on you." All right? I've never liked the old man on Pawn Stars. So I'm sure there are a lot of people out there that feel the same way about me. Thank you, Cabby, I think. Today's question of the day by the Tom Bush family of dealerships. Just asked you to vent. Just tell us your gut reaction when the news came out yesterday on Jalen Ramsey. And just for people who may be tuning in right now, I think it bears restating. John Osier was in with us earlier from Jaguars.com. And, Tony, we all know what the feeling was like in that building on the practice field. Immediate sense of gloom and doom last year with Dante Fowler Jr. Bad. This is not going to be good. We knew it was bad, even if it's not been confirmed. John said yesterday the feeling is nothing like that. That, you know, it's not ideal. You don't want it to happen. But this is not something that's going to shut down his season. The second opinion is to make sure that they are right in their diagnosis that this is on the shorter return of the spectrum in terms of how quickly he can return from this injury. So, again, we're just passing along the feeling down in the building that John had yesterday. None of us is putting a timetable on it. That's not our job, responsibility, or capability of doing it. So let's hope a speedy return for Jalen Ramsey. On Twitter, Tony, what kind of reaction did we get today?
Here's what we got from Union Jack's Joe. Jalen's invincible. I'm not concerned. And he included a gif of the Black Knight from Monty Python in the Holy Grail. From Jason, it's to the point these first-rounders will tweak a knee in the classroom studying game film. Shaking my head. From Vinny, like I just received a swift kick to the gonads. From Isaiah, not again. Hashtag should have picked Vic. From Cody, it's a meniscus. The season starts in how long? How's Blake? Is he okay? Yeah? Okay. Goes on living. From Daniel, at first I was like, here we go again, but now I'm like, you got to push through adversity. And from Eric, my favorite, like Darth Vader's, no.
We got a lot of great GIFs, I think is how you pronounce them.
Right? I thought it was GIF.
I thought it was GIFs, too.
See, I thought it was, too, because it makes sense, right, that it's GIF. And I used to hear Coward say GIF all the time, and I'm like, it's not peanut butter, okay?
Yeah, it's not.
And then I looked it up. Go look up pronunciation of GIF, and darned if he wasn't right. And it's GIF, and it's annoying that it's GIF.
Yeah, it's GIF.
It is. I think it's GIF, too.
I'm going to keep saying GIF.
Hard G. There's no mistaking
like
how to pronounce.
Just like it's not Gerard.
However, it's not Gerard. There's no mistaking, however, how to pronounce Retro Fitness,
yeah,
which is booming now as the month of May brought in Retro Rage. And what do we got cooking these days at your two Retro Fitness locations, Dave?
Okay, so at both locations, you know the summer months are coming up. You got a lot of kids getting back from college. You got the high school kids out and about not doing much. So we're running a summer program for the high school kids and the college kids. Only $99 for 3 months, and that gives you full access to both gyms. You can add $50 more to it and get unlimited Rage classes for those 3 months. It's a great thing to get into if you're an athlete and you're trying to prepare for your upcoming season or whatever it is, or if you're just home from college and you want something to get into and you don't want to pay those long monthly and yearly type fees, you can just get in for $99 at this point in time, and that's for both gyms. You can access both gyms, our Bay Meadows location and our Harbor Village location. That is the Fresh Market Shopping Center at Atlantic and San Pablo, and the other location is Bay Meadows and Southside. So a lot of great things happening. Come in, all you college students. And if you're not in college, we still have great prices and great deals for you as well.
If you're getting ready to go to college, you don't want to hit. If you're going to plan on putting on the freshman 15, work on it now. Right?
Low.
Give yourself a good pace.
Exactly.
Right? So, and you want, because you know what it's going to be like, freshman orientation. Everyone's going to be scoping everybody out. You want to be in tip-top shape.
And what happens in freshman orientation, a lot of the older kids come around and see the new crop that's coming into college
That's right. Hey, look, you only get one chance to make a first impression is what I've always been told. RetroFitnessJax.com
for
more information online as well. And great program. Look, doesn't matter what age you are. You can always stand to be more fit than you are, and you guys are getting it done over at Retro Fitness.
We had a 65-year-old lady take a Retro Rage class at our Harbor Village location, and she loved it. She said Retro Rage is all the rage.
Well, there you go. That makes perfect sense. Got this one getting back to a little bit on the Jalen Ramsey thing from Kevin on the Jaguar Study Facebook page. His reaction was, are you kidding me? I thought we learned something from the Fowler injury. What would you have learned, though, that prevent? I mean, they did dial back rookie minicamp, right, to where it was glorified walkthrough,
keep
basically.
Keep them in bubble wrap.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, we say that, and we even use that exact phrase because we want the team to be delivered to opening day, full strength, ready to roll. But the way to get them ready to roll is to practice.
Yeah, you got to go full speed at some point in time. If you don't, if the first time you go full speed is day one, Aaron Rodgers is going to smoke. He's already going to have, he's already going to put his best foot forward anyway. So if you're just doing nothing but three-quarter speed the whole time, you're not going to be ready. It's just not the way to go about it.
You would have a better argument here if Jalen Ramsey had been in rookie minicamp, OTAs, minicamps, more OTAs, training camp, 3 weeks into training camp and doing 2 days. You've taxed him too much. He's been on the field just for a blink of an eye, you know, and these guys do stay in shape.
And it's not as much work as people think it is. That first phase is honestly just lifting and doing some cardio stuff. The second phase, you're starting to put in some football moves. Your balls are out there. You're going through DB drills. But it's still not incredible work. I mean, and then you're only out there for a very limited time. When I first started in this league, I mean, you were out there half the day, and that was in phase one. Nowadays, they're trying to look out for the guys so much. You can't do but so much for these guys, especially when it's something like the meniscus or anything with inside the joints. If it's soft tissue, that's different. You can push somebody too hard, and soft tissue injuries crop up.
All right, let's end on a different, completely different note here. I just wanted to highlight this. I saw this story. I thought it was kind of interesting. If you remember the Miracle on Ice, if you were of a certain age in 1980, you probably remember watching it on tape delay as it was actually broadcast when the United States beat the Soviets. They didn't win the gold medal until they beat Finland in their next game. But even if you didn't, if you weren't alive or you didn't watch it then, you're well aware, I'm sure, the Miracle on Ice. You didn't know the Finland.
I thought they won it right then.
You see, I think a lot of people do, Dave. And you were born what year?
78.
70, so you're two. You can be excused.
I was sitting right in front of the TV.
I'm sure you
drinking
were.
Drinking a bottle of milk.
Jim Craig, who was the goalie.
Hockey was big in the Girard household.
Yes, not really.
Craig tried to sell a bunch of his memorabilia last year from the gold medal run. He collectively tried to get $5.7 million for the collection at a Leland's auction. It didn't go down, so now he's split it up. Gold medal, estimated value to $1.5 million. The Jesse Owens medal from the 1936 Olympics. Didn't he win four of them in 36? I think he did. Anyway, one of the Olympic medals from Jesse Owens sold for $1.47 million at auction. And, you know, they're both historically significant for different reasons.
I'm surprised it's not more. Honestly, I mean, to get your hands on a gold medal
A name player's gold medal.
I mean, when they do the list of the biggest moments in American sports history, and that includes like NFL, baseball, all that stuff, the Miracle is on there.
I think it's not number one. A team thing where Jesse Owens was by himself.
Certainly. Mark Wells was a teammate of Jim Craig's. You could have hit me in the face 50 times, I never would have come up with his name. His sold for $310,000 at auction, so it was a gold medal. That's still pretty good, but to have Jim Craig's actual medal, Mike Ruzioni's medal, so he's trying to get $1 to $1.5 million for that. The flag that was draped over him, this was actually given to him by a spectator. They gave him an American flag, and he draped it over his shoulders, right?
Well, that's a one-of-a-kind thing.
He initially gave the flag back to the guy and got it back years later, okay? He's trying to sell it for the same, $1 to $1.5 million bucks for the flag. That guy's probably like, finder's fee, you know, yeah, something. Exactly. I mean, come on.
Or maybe a bunch of gold medals. There's only one of those flags.
Only one of those flags. He's selling his the white jersey that he beat the Russians in for $750,000 to $1 million. He's trying to get for that. The blue jersey from the gold medal game, $500,000 to $1 million is what he's trying to get for that. His game stick, his goalie stick from the Soviet and Finn games that where they beat both of them, used the same stick, $300,000 to $400,000 on that. And Aruzioni's stick, who scored the game-winning goal against the Soviets, went for $262,000 back in 2013. So he might have a tough time topping Mike Aruzioni's game-winning goal stick. But nonetheless, if you've got, I don't know, a quarter of a million or more laying around and you're a big Olympic hockey enthusiast, look up the Leland's auction.
Does he say why he's doing this? Is there a reason why?
He said he just, you know, look, he wants to set his kids and his grandkids up financially. And
gotcha.
I don't blame him. You know what I mean? I mean, hey, sure. You know, it's, man, it's tough to part with your gold medal, but $1 million is tough to over.
And whoever buys it really wants it and really wants it to be a part of their memorabilia. They'll probably appreciate it even more.
Oh, imagine if somebody in Russia bought it and melted it down on YouTube. Oh, we'd go to war right then. War.
Would you want the medal? Would you want the medal, the flag, or the stick?
I want the medal. The Olympic medal is the medal. The flag is a great story. You got to explain it. The medal is the medal. It's what, to me, I'd want the medal.
That's what they're playing for.
What are you want the medal? You want
I don't
the flag?
Know. I don't know. I like the jerseys. I like the things that, you know, you can really see and you don't have to explain it that much.
Right.
The flag, you're going to have to go into the store of, this was the flag draped over me. And that was a great moment. But, you know, anytime you have a jersey that's in a nice picture frame and the autograph on there, maybe you put a picture in there with it. I mean, that's pretty cool to me.
Jersey, I want the medal. What do you want?
I think I want the flag.
You want the flag? We'll give the Tyler the stick. It's the cheapest title on there anyway. Tyler, we'll ask him to throw that in. If we were willing to spend $3 million on all these other ones, will you throw him the stick for free? All right, that's going to do it for us today for Jaguars Today. Thanks to John Osier from Jaguars.com for stopping by. Thanks to Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. Again, 287-7756. You know by now if you've got a leak in your roof, but if you're concerned about the state of your roof, repairs, re-roofs, Bob Roberts, the guy to call. First Coast Roofing, 287-7756, our Friday sponsor of Jaguars Today. Next week, back at Everbank, Mo Williams, former Jaguar offensive lineman, is going to join us Tuesday in studio down at Everbank, talking about what he's got going on and some charity events, what he's up to as one of your former Jaguars who has made Jacksonville his home, and a bunch of other folks we'll be catching up with, hopefully David Garrard included in those as we cover OTAs from right down at the stadium next week. That does it for us. For David Garrard, for Fat Tony, for Tyler Devitt, John Osier, and Joe Fortunato, I'm Mike Dempsey signing off for Jaguars Today. Coming up next, it's Midday Chalk on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
You guys have a good day. Peace.